Hey boo, we're continuing chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And if you remember, one of the school girls just had some weird interaction with this cursed necklace. As they followed Hermione and Leanne up the road, Harry was thinking furiously. They had just entered the grounds when he spoke, unable to keep his thoughts to himself any longer. Malfoy knows about this necklace. It was in a case at Borgin and Burke's 4 years ago. I saw him having a good look at it while I was hiding from him and his dad. This is what he was buying that day when we followed him. He remembered it, and he went back for it. I don't know, Harry, said Ron hesitantly. Loads of people go into Borgin and Burke's. And didn't that girl say Katie got in the girls' bathroom? She said she came back from the bathroom with it. She didn't necessarily get it in the bathroom herself. Itself. McGonagall, said Ron warningly. Harry looked up. Sure enough, Professor McGonagall was hurrying down the stone steps through swirling sleet to meet them. Hagrid says you foresaw what happened to Katie Bell. Upstairs to my office at once, please. What's that you're holding, Potter? It's the thing she touched, said Harry. Good Lord, said Professor McGonagall, looking alarmed as she took the necklace from Harry. No, no, Filch, they're with me, she added hastily, as Filch came shuffling eagerly across the entrance hall, holding his secrecy sensor aloft. Take this necklace to Professor Snape at once. Be sure not to touch it. Keep it wrapped in the scarf. Harry and the others followed Professor McGonagall upstairs and into her office. The sleet-spattered windows were rattling in their frames, and the room was chilly despite the fire crackling in the grate. Professor McGonagall closed the door and swept around her desk to face Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and the still-sobbing Leanne. Well, she said sharply, what happened? Haltingly, and with many pauses while she attempted to control her crying, Leanne told Professor McGonagall how Katie had gone into the bathroom in the Three Broomsticks and returned holding the unmarked package, how Katie seemed a little odd, and how they had argued about the advisability of agreeing to deliver unknown objects, the argument culminating in the tussle over the parcel, which tore open. At this point, Leanne was so overcome, there was no getting another word out of her. All right, said Professor McGonagall, not unkindly. Go up to the hospital wing, please, Leanne, and get Madame Pomfrey to give you something for shock. When she had left the room, Professor McGonagall turned back to Harry, Ron, and Hermione. What happened when Katie touched the necklace? She rose up into the air, said Harry, before either Ron or Hermione could speak, and then began to scream and collapsed. Professor, can I see Professor Dumbledore, please? The headmaster is away until Monday, Potter, said Professor McGonagall, looking surprised. Away? Repeated Harry angrily. Yes, Potter, away, said Professor McGonagall tartly. But anything you have to say about this horrible business can be said to me, I'm sure. For a split second, Harry hesitated. Professor McGonagall did not invite confidences. Dumbledore, though in many ways more intimidating, seemed still less likely to scorn a theory, however wild. This was a life-and-death matter, though, and no moment to worry about being laughed at. I think Draco Malfoy gave Katie that necklace, Professor. On one side of him, Ron rubbed his nose in apparent embarrassment. On the other, Hermione shuffled her feet as though quite keen to put a bit of distance between herself and Harry. This is a very serious accusation, Potter, said Professor McGonagall after a shocked pause. Do you have any proof? No, said Harry, but... And he told her about following Malfoy to Borgin and Burke's, and the conversation they'd overheard between him and Mr. Borgin. When he had finished speaking, Professor McGonagall looked slightly confused. Malfoy took something to Borgin and Burke's for repair. No, Professor, he just wanted Borgin to tell him how to mend something. He didn't have it with him. But that's not the point. The thing is, he bought the necklace at the same time. I think it was that necklace. You saw Malfoy leaving the shop with a similar package? No, Professor, he told Borgin to keep it in the shop for him. But Harry, Hermione interrupted. Borgin asked him if he wanted to take it with him, and Malfoy said no. Because he didn't want to touch it, obviously, said Harry angrily. What he actually said was, how would I look carrying that down the street, said Hermione. Well, he would look a bit of a prat carrying a necklace, interjected Ron. Oh, Ron, said Hermione despairingly. It would be all wrapped up, so he wouldn't have had to touch it, and quite easy to hide inside a cloak so nobody would see it. I think whatever he reserved at Borgin and Burke's was noisy or bulky, something he knew would draw attention to him if he carried it down the street. And in any case, she pressed on loudly, before Harry could interrupt, I asked Borgin about the necklace, don't you remember? When I went in to try to find out what Malfoy had asked him to keep, I saw it there. And Borgin just told me the price. He didn't say it was already sold or anything. Well, you were being really obvious. He realized what you were up to within about 5 seconds. Of course, he wasn't going to tell you. Anyway, Malfoy could have sent off for it. That's enough, said Professor McGonagall, as Hermione opened her mouth to retort, looking furious. Potter, I appreciate you telling me this, but we cannot point the finger of blame at Mr. Malfoy, purely because he visited the shop where this necklace might have been purchased. The same is probably true of hundreds of people. That's what I said, muttered Ron. And in any case, we have stringent security measures in place this year. I do not believe that necklace can possibly have entered the school without our knowledge. But, and what is more, said Professor McGonagall, with an air of awful finality, Mr. Malfoy was not in Hogsmeade today. Harry gaped at her, deflating. How do you know, Professor? Because he was doing detention with me. He has now failed to complete his transfiguration homework twice in a row. So thank you for telling me your suspicions, Potter, she said as she marched past them. But I need to go up to the hospital wing now to check on Katie Bell. Good day to you all. She held open her office door. They had no choice but to file past her without another word. Harry was angry with the other two for siding with McGonagall. Nevertheless, he felt compelled to join in once they started discussing what happened. So who do you reckon Katie was supposed to give the necklace to? Asked Ron as they climbed the stairs to the common room. Goodness only knows, said Hermione, but whoever it was has had a narrow escape. No one could have opened that package without touching the necklace. It could have been meant for loads of people, said Harry. Dumbledore, the Death Eaters would love to get rid of him. He must be one of their top targets. Or Slughorn. Dumbledore reckons Voldemort really wanted him, and they can't be pleased he's sided with Dumbledore. Or you, said Hermione, looking troubled. Couldn't have been, said Harry. Or Katie would have just turned around in the lane and give it to me, wouldn't she? I mean, I was behind her all the way out of the Three Broomsticks. It would have made much more sense to deliver the parcel outside Hogwarts, or with Filch searching everyone who goes in and out. I wonder why Malfoy told her to take it into the castle. Harry, Malfoy wasn't in Hogsmeade, said Hermione, actually stamping her foot in frustration. He must have used an accomplice then, said Harry. Crabbe, or Goyle, or come to think of it, another Death Eater. He'll have loads of better cronies than Crabbe and Goyle now that he's joined up. Ron and Hermione exchanged looks that plainly said there's no point arguing with him. Dillygrout, said Hermione firmly as they reached the fat lady. The portrait swung open to admit them to the common room. It was quite full and smelled of damp clothing. Many people seemed to have returned from Hogsmeade early because of the bad weather. There was no buzz or fear or speculation, however. Clearly, the news of Katie's fate had not yet spread. It wasn't a very slick attack, really, when you stop and think about it, said Ron, casually turfing a first year out of one of the good armchairs by the fire so he could sit down. The curse didn't even make it into the castle. Not what you'd call foolproof. You're right, said Hermione, prodding Ron out of the chair with her foot and offering it to the first years again. It wasn't very well thought out at all. But since when has Malfoy been one of the world's greatest thinkers? Said Harry. Neither Ron nor Hermione answered him. And that's the end of chapter 12. And next we'll read chapter 13 called The Secret Riddle. I hope you like that, my baby kitten. And it's definitely bedtime. I love you so much. Sweet dreams, my beautiful girl. Good night.